Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAGE for short, a housing group for older people run by older people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show here on 3CR 8:55am. My name is Shane, I'm here with Liz today. How are you doing, Liz?
I'm good, Shane. How are you? What's happening?
I don't know, maybe winter is ending finally in Melbourne.
Yep, and the chaos of spring rains.
Exactly.
It's chaotic wind, sun, frost, snow.
Oh, I don't know about snow.
There still is in the mountains, maybe not in
maybe not in Preston.
Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to play an interview that we did with Lucas Testro from the Council of Homeless Persons. He had some interesting things to say about the ways that the sector can make people who've experienced or are experiencing homelessness more central to its work. And we talked about a few of the different initiatives that CHP has for that sort of thing. So we are going to go now to hear from Lucas. So we're in the studio today with Lucas Testro, who's the Director of Policy and Communications at the Council to Homeless Persons.
Yeah, that's right, Simon.
So tell us about what is the Council to Homeless Persons and what do you do there?
Council to Homeless Persons is the peak body that represents organisations and people working to end homelessness in Victoria. So we are a member body. We have, you know, all of the kind of homelessness organisations who are doing incredible work every day, agencies out there providing day-to-day support to people experiencing or at risk of homelessness. And we help support them in various ways. But another key part of what we do is really lead the advocacy work on behalf of the sector, the lobbying to government, the awareness raising with government and other key stakeholders to achieve the system change we need to end homelessness for good.
And the Council to Homeless Persons also has a very strong emphasis on what you could call consumer-led advocacy, where the people who are the recipients of the service work that the whole sector does have a reasonably strong role in directing policy and things like that.
Yeah, that's right, Liz. So, people with lived experience or living experience of homelessness are at the centre of what we do at Council to Homeless Persons. I think it's probably fair to say that as a sector, we see lived experience as really important. But I think if we're honestly looking at ourselves, the homelessness sector has still a ways to go when we compare ourselves to other intersecting sectors like mental health, alcohol and other drugs, that sort of thing, in terms of what they have been doing to integrate lived experience and put it at the centre of all decision making. So we take that very seriously. We have a lived experience program within CHP that works very integrally into how we develop our own policies. When we work up our policy submissions that we're going to take to government, we bounce that off the team and we take them out as well to be part of our advocacy efforts to government as well. And then doing a lot of work with the broader sector to try to lift the profile and amplify lived experience throughout the sector.
So we're going to ask you about some of the specific sort of lived experience work that CHP has been doing, especially around, you know, sort of peer education, letting people with an experience of homelessness, you know, talk and share their experiences. But I'm interested in what you just said. Like, can you talk a bit more about what the sector should be doing or could be doing to incorporate lived experience at the level of decision making?
Yeah, look, I think it's just, as a sector, we are probably resource poor in terms of time and money. It is an incredibly passionate, devoted, skilled sector of people working over and above in really trying circumstances to support tens of thousands of Victorians who are also doing it really tough in very trying circumstances. So that can lead sometimes to us sort of just trying to get by, get to the next thing. How can you get to the next person to walk through the door? And so I think, you know, there's more work to be done both in terms of making that space, and that's adjusting how you think about every process within an organization, every decision-making process about, you know, starting that with an engagement with lived experience. And I'm not saying at CHP we're perfect at it either. Like, we, one of the great things about our team is they will regularly come back and tell us when we haven't done something, you know, as well as we could. And we really value that so that we can get better. And so we can also model it for the rest of the sector. So there's that, taking that space to think about that and really design systems with lived experience at the heart. And then there's, I think, the next step beyond that of, like, really getting more aspirational and respectful about how you see, what role you see for lived experience in the sector. So traditionally at the moment, I think when most people probably talk about lived experience having a role in the homelessness sector, it'll be in a role called a peer support officer, which is essentially someone comes to a homelessness service. It is somebody who has walked in their shoes before, who can kind of meet them where they're at with kind of whatever they need in that moment. And that could just be about helping them get their ID or going to the shops and doing the shopping. It could be any number of things. But that's a kind of, in a way, it's like a really, it's a very important role, but it's sort of the easiest one to, for us to spot, that lived experience has a place to be there. But there's no reason lived experience couldn't be doing every other role. There's no reason lived experience couldn't be doing my role as Director of Policy and Communications at CHP, right? So we need to be on that journey about empowering people with lived experience, setting them up for that success and, you know, further professional development, but also changing the way we all think as organizations.
Cool. Sounds great. So one of the programs that we wanted to ask you about today is called Walk in My Shoes. So can you tell us a bit about that and what it's aiming to achieve?
Yeah, Walk in Her Shoes is a really exciting new exhibition and community forum series that we have developed that is starting, it's launching this week, really excitingly, and will be running for pretty much the next year, leading up sort of to the next state election. We will be going to 11 different regions around Victoria, and that is an exhibition that tells the story of three women who experienced homelessness at different stages of their lives. So one as a teenager, another as a mother of two children who had experienced family violence, and one as an older Victorian. And it tells their story of both their journey into homelessness, the experiences they had trying to engage with the system and get support. That is a lot harder than I think people realize it is. And then what were the things that happened for them that created an outcome that has been transformative for them in terms of, you know, giving them a foundation to start a new chapter for their life. So it tells that story. And in the opening night of each stop around the tour, we will be holding a local forum that's going to bring everybody from the community is welcome to come together. But, like, just general members of the public, we want to come be part of this, because this is all about, we need an all-state partnership to end homelessness. But it's a chance to ask your questions to people from the local council. We'll have local MPs there. We'll have representatives from local homelessness services, and we'll have people with lived experience of homelessness from the local community to answer questions and really talk about the evidence-based responses that we know can end homelessness.
You mentioned that the project features three women. One of the participants is a former client and member of Housing for the Age Action Group, Vanessa. Why do you think it's important to feature older women in the exhibition?
Vanessa is an amazing, incredible individual. It's been such a privilege to spend time with her, and a privilege that she has agreed to share her story as part of this. She's fantastic. Look, it's very deliberate that we are telling this story, starting by featuring the experiences of women to start with. And I think it's the thing about talking about homelessness, right, is we know it's hard listening sometimes, and indeed there's lots of hard elements to these stories when you read them. But really the importance, I think, of this exhibition is about hope. It's about hope and expectation, because, you know, there's that saying, information is power. And I think one of the biggest problems that are getting in the way of Victoria being able to end homelessness is just a lack of understanding from the public about homelessness. So I think most people probably, when they think of homelessness, think two things. They think of a guy sitting out the front of a train station, and they think homelessness is too big to solve. And neither of those things are true. So, like, the, you know, we have far too many people who are having to sleep rough around Melbourne, and that is a really, you know, it's a terrible situation for somebody to be in, and it's really important that we are responding to those people. But the reality is that 58% of people who came to homelessness services last year were women. And the number one driver of people coming to homelessness services is family violence. That is what homelessness most often looks like in Victoria. So it's really important, I think, that we take people on these journeys and a really relatable journey. You know, this could be your sister, your daughter, your wife, your mother, to really understand firsthand what homelessness looks and feels like. And then to understand, we actually do know how you fix it. It's not a mystery. We know how. We just need to. Homelessness is not a failure of people. It's a failure of systems. And we need to just make a choice as a community that we want to end it. So the more that people understand what homelessness is and that we can fix it, the more we can actually be speaking up to our governments to say, hey, this is actually a top priority for us. Yeah. Not something that, you know, they go, oh, we can never solve it, so let's not ask. So the government never actually has to make that harder financial decision. Mm-hmm. So, look, that's why we're telling that story. And we're telling a story about people of all ages, including people like Vanessa, because, you know, there were 12,000 people over 55 came to homelessness services in Victoria in 2023-24. 5,000 of them are over 65, and more than half of those are women again. And so I think, you know, several levels. First, I think that's just probably a shocking statistic. If you told people that 5,000 people over the age of 65 were coming to homelessness services last year, I think they'd fall off their chair. Secondly, we know...
We might not fall off our chair. I was going to say, oh, geez, they've all come to us.
Exactly, exactly.
Every day.
And you do amazing work. But the average public probably are less aware of that, right?
Yeah.
And we know that homelessness takes an incredible physical and mental health toll on people. And so to have to experience that as an older person puts you in a much more vulnerable position. And that's something, again, Vanessa talks about. She is somebody who experienced homelessness as a younger person, then re-experience it as an old person. And she talks about how much, you know, it was hard enough the first time, but having to sleep rough as an older person, how hard that is. Mm. And then just finally, I mean, these are people, A, who have been sort of the catalyst for arriving in this position, a kind of a, you know, a patriarchal economic system that tends to put women into caregiving roles and not in like circumstances to generate an independent income. And then a kind of ageist society as well, where we have a use-by date that sits on our CVs. And again, that's an experience Vanessa had once, you know, when she tried to get back into the job market and couldn't get there. And I just think, you know, people who have contributed to our community for decades and then get to their later years, and the thought we would just sort of let them be tossed to the side. We've got to be better than that, don't we?
Absolutely.
So you've mentioned a couple of times that we know how to end homelessness, and I think we've got to ask you to tell the listeners, how do we end homelessness?
Look, it's both a huge challenge, but it's also kind of simple when it comes down to it at the end. We essentially need three things. We need to have expanded prevention and early intervention programs throughout Victoria. So last year, in 91% of cases, when people came to Victorian Homelessness Services at risk of homelessness, agencies were able to help them keep their tenancy. We are extraordinarily good at prevention, and it's also really cost effective for people who want to think about that stuff, let alone the fact the amount of trauma it saves people to be able to stay in their homes and not fall into homelessness. So we need to grow that as housing affordability stress is growing, but we also need to do a heap more work growing what prevention and early intervention looks like in terms of how we intersect with our health sectors, our, you know, education, justice systems, all sorts of things there. So there's that. Then we need to expand crisis responses, and that looks like more assertive outreach. So that's workers who are going out onto the streets, engaging with people who are sleeping rough, re-engaging them with a system that often they've sort of been driven away from because the system's let them down. Re-engaging them with the system to give them what they need in that moment, tied to Housing First, which is an approach to housing that says we give somebody a house and then we wrap around them with supports. And again, we had a Housing First program in Victoria called From Homelessness to a Home coming out after COVID, and it had over a 90% success rate of long-term rough sleepers going through that program and ending up in long-term housing. Incredibly successful. We wrapped that program up, as in the government wrapped that program up and replaced it with something that's okay, but it's not the full program. So we need that, and we need to have more specialised crisis accommodation. And then the last part is, you know, shocker, we need more social housing. At the end of the day, if we're serious about fixing this, we need a lot more social housing. But again, there's good news here. As a sector, we've been talking about this for years, but in March, Infrastructure Victoria, the government's own infrastructure advisor, came out and recommended the government should be building 4,000 new social homes every year, starting in 2026. So the sector's known it for years and been saying it.
Yep.
Now the government's own advisors are saying it. Let's get going.
Yep. Yeah. And we talked earlier a bit about the role of peers of people with lived experience. So tell us about the PESP program, the Peer Education Support Program. What are some of the advocacy outcomes that you've seen linking people with lived experience of homelessness directly with government consultations?
So the Peer Education Support Program is one program that CHP runs to work with it to essentially train, it's like a course, people with lived experience of homelessness to be advocates, public speakers, to go into any number of roles. They can, they could go into workforce roles as peer support workers, or as we said earlier, hopefully all sorts of other roles. Or they might not work there, they might just be independent advocates. They might go off and become accountants, whatever, like, you know, about building up. But as part of that as well is we then use... We have them as an integral part of how we go about developing policy and advocating to government. We have them to come with us or to interview them, and we have verbatim quotes when we'll put in a submission or our budget submission, say, that comes in to say to the government, this is what you need to spend money on next year. And, you know, so that we have that within those programs, but we also, you know, work independently. Housing for the Age Action Group has, you know, as you said, lots of fantastic people who bring that lived experience insight, and we work with all sorts of organizations in all sorts of ways for that. And the key to that is, A, they've lived it. They're going to know this more intimately and better than I ever could sitting here doing this. But also statistics, and I've quoted statistics here, and, you know, it's all good, whatever. At the end of the day, in terms of actually reaching a politician, and I've seen it happen, is to sit opposite somebody who can just take you firsthand. And, you know, you can't deny humanity once you're in front of it. And then that can be very easy to do when you're sort of cloistered away in a, you know, cabinet room or whatever. But when you're in a room with somebody who is just another fellow human being and you hear their story, it's incredible the impact that has. So it's just such an essential part of advocacy and such an essential role in ending homelessness in Victoria.
So you're listening to Raise the Roof on 3CR 855 AM, and we are talking to Lucas Testro from the Council of Homeless Persons. And our other co-host who couldn't be here today, Fiona York, has left a note for us that says, if you have time for more questions, which I think we do, ask about the Victorian Homelessness Conference.
So oh, I'm happy to talk about that. Thank you, Fiona, in absentia. Victorian Homelessness Conference is coming up again. We have it every 2 years. It's coming up at the end of November, on the 27th and 28th of November. This year, it's really exciting. It's the first time ever that the Victorian Homelessness Conference has been held regionally. So we're holding it up in Ballarat at the Mercure Hotel. Early bird bookings are open now. And I guess the main thing I would say in terms of talking to your listeners is, again, lived experience needs to be at the center of all of these things. So we have you know, $10 tickets for people with lived experience if they want to come to that conference. So if you go to our website, chp.org.au, that's the easiest way to find it. On the homepage, you'll scroll down the first kind of like highlights scrolly thing. We'll have a link to the website there that can take you through to the ticket page. And if you have any queries or anything about it, just get in touch with us and we'll sort out how that happens. But yeah, $10 tickets. Love to have you there. we're also aware that, you know, there's a challenge getting up to Ballarat for some people here in terms of costs. And so, again, we are at sort of a watch this space for a moment. We're working on seeing, trying to wing some sponsorships to maybe, you know, get some accommodation subsidies and stuff to, again, support getting people with lived experience at the centre of these conversations. But it's going to be an amazing 2 days of conversation, both about how we work better as a sector, like better practice, the systems changes we need, but in particular looking at how do we grow this partnership. The theme of the conference this year is building together and for each other. How do we grow a partnership beyond the sector to be all of Victoria working together to end homelessness?
Cool. And if people want to, you know, come to any of the events, get involved in any of the programs that you've talked about or find out more, what should they do?
Probably easiest ways, you can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at CHP_Vic. We've just started that account, so please come like it. It's hard work out there in 2025 trying to start a new social media account, but there's lots of good stuff happening there at the moment. We're also on Facebook, look up Council of Homeless Persons. And every 2 weeks we send out an e-news that has everything you need to know. So if you're interested in that, just head to our website, chp.org.au, scroll right down the bottom, and there's a subscription form where you can sign up for our email newsletter. And that has information about what's happening in the sector, you know, the latest changes to reform and our advocacy activities. But yeah, you'll find out about all the events we're doing there.
Awesome. And we'll try and include a link to some of that on our show notes. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Lucas, for coming in, sharing your insights with us. It was interesting. Thanks.
Anytime.
Awesome.
We'll be right back after a couple of community service announcements, which I will play in any moment.
City Limits. Brought to us by the People's Committee for Melbourne every Wednesday at 9 a.m.
City Limits is Melbourne's only hour devoted to our urban environment,
to transport and planning and housing issues,
to privatisations and our utility services,
to building and or maintaining a sense of community. 855 on the AM band, if we can hear it through the noise and find it through the smog.
City Limits.
If you're experiencing family violence, free legal support is available. You may need support with obtaining protection, setting up safe parenting arrangements, organising a new visa, getting into safe housing, or making sure bills and bank accounts are split fairly. Community legal centres have expertise in helping people who experience family violence and can provide confidential advice to help you understand your rights and legal options. Reach out today for guidance and support. Visit www.fclc.org.au and click Get Help to find a community legal centre near you. You don't have to face family violence alone. If you are currently in crisis, please contact Safe Steps on 1800 015 188. Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
So, Shane, there's something that I wanted to mention. There is a coalition of grassroots groups that are calling on unions to enact green bans and defend public housing tenants against evictions. So this is a coalition between the group called House You and another group called Defend and Extend Public Housing, Housing Justice Now, Rahu, and the Anti-Poverty Network of South Australia. I think that the House You group started in the Northern Rivers, but they're now campaigning nationally.
Cool.
And yeah, so this, if people wanted to sign that petition and help promote it, it's on the World Wide Web at houseyou.org. So houseyou.org And there you can contact them or donate and read all about the importance of community-led green bands. And, of course, the idea of green bands is when unions say that they would down tools, that the unions would cease to do work for a social or an environmental issue. And in this case, it's asking unions to defend tenants who are being evicted.
Awesome. So we are just about out of time for this week. So I'm going to finish up with some contact information. If you're an older Victorian who wants some advice, assistance with a housing issue, you can call us on 1300 765 178. That's 1300 765 178. Or if you want to get more involved in some of our working groups, some of our lived experience projects, some of our attempts to incorporate lived experience into our leadership and decision making, you can give us a call on 9654 7389. That's 9654 7389. We are going to leave you with a song this month. Liz has chosen the song. What are we going to hear today?
We are going to hear the song Fairyland Codex, which is the title track from the album Fairyland Codex. And I'll say this band name without being offensive, which I accidentally did before and now I quite like it. This is Tropical Fruxstorm.
Okay. Well, listeners, enjoy and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Thank you.